I mean, I've not played FIFA in quite a while, but playing the World Cup FIFA around your house has really kind of got me interested in FIFA. So obviously, I was thinking of getting the FIFA 12, and obviously it comes out. It's been out for a while. It's £25 in Asda. But do I buy it now, or do I just wait for the FIFA 13, which has probably come out in September, October?
Look, Mike, can I just stop you? This show ain't called the 30-hour gamer, for fuck's sake. It's called the 30-minute gamers, all right?
Sorry.
Good morning and welcome to the 30-Minute Gamer Show. I'm Adam Ducker, and on this freezing cold April morning, I'm joined by Mike Luckett.
Hello.
I'm assuming it's cold where you are. It's absolutely, like...
It is freezing where I am, but according to my clock, it's 7 minutes past 12, so it's actually the afternoon now.
That's bullshit. Don't trust him, Mike. It's not true. Okay. Anyway, we're going to start. We're back to our regular two-topic thing after last week's Mass Effect spoiler cast. If anyone's got any feedback, they could always send us it back about what they thought about our Mass Effect show. Mer sent us a bit of feedback, our number one fan. He's back listening to the show again.
Mm.
He sent us a little bit of feedback about the previous episode, and he said that he was glad that we both finally got into Skyrim after the blasphemy of what we said before Christmas, because neither of us were getting it when we did our Gaming Apocalypse episodes. He yep. said his first playthrough was about 120 hours, which sounds fair. He then said he went on to talk about game and the game Spring Clean and what he managed to pick up. He got Ghost Recon 2, Prince of Persia, Brink, Hawks, Resistance 2, Ratchet and Clank, Motorstorm, Heavily Sword and Disaster Day for just £23. And then he said Games Losses, Shop Tombs Game. So hopefully, Mike, that leads us straight into our first subject, because since we talked about game 2 weeks, changes have been afoot.
They have indeed.
So game have changed hands and been bought by Op Capita for the bargain price of £1.
Mm.
I mean, it is a pre-owned company, so you're going to pay a little bit less for it. Oh, yeah. I went there.
Oh, I see what you did there.
So, yeah. So they went and bought them. They own Comet and allegedly turning Comet around. I'm not so sure. They now have a new old chief exec, Martin Gibbs, who used to be the chief exec until the middle of last year, is now in charge of them again.
Hmm.
Bizarrely. And they've also taken Dixon's former CEO to be their new executive chairman. So basically, they've got two failed chief execs in positions of power to revive a failing company.
It's a good start, isn't it? It's way to bring yourself around.
They definitely know what they're up to, don't worry. I don't know, I've been thinking about the Martin Gibbs thing a lot, because he was there until the middle of last year, and it was him that started to put some of the wheels in motion. Like, it was him that announced the original store closures that were already scheduled to happen. So I think it's weighing up having that fresh perspective, but also somebody that intricately knows how the business actually works and that, like. So I guess the big question is now, the however many staff it is, 3,000 odd staff or say 300 stores, how the hell are they going to save game, Mike?
How are they going to save game? I think it's actually bigger than... I think they need to do quite a bit of a revamp, to be honest. I think part of me can't see it happening, but I do think a rebrand could be in order.
Yeah.
As in, like, you know, like a total redo, because the game brand's obviously been all over the news a lot recently. It's been damaged. You know, people have seen game stores close all over the place. There's going to be a lot of stores now, like my local one, with a big close sign in the window or the door or whatever they've stuck it. They need to rebrand, change the company, obviously change the logo, redo the store, make the stores a bit more, I don't know, friendly.
Yeah.
I think it's just an overall thing, really, and they need to compete better. Because I know, in the day, the stores cost more than the internet, and we know why, because it costs more to run a store. But at the end of the day, obviously, this is showing that they can't keep competing on the markets, and there's something that needs to be done. I don't know where. At the end of the day, the likes of Shop 2 online are beating them at every corner when it comes to prices, because they only have to pay for a big warehouse and some fancy equipment to move stock around.
Yeah, I think only like two people work in that big Shop 2 warehouse.
Yeah, and that's why they're so much cheaper. So I don't really know what the easy answer is, because even in the streets, there's not many places you can buy games now.
No.
But you've still got the likes of Asda, Morrisons, Tesco and Sainsbury's, which are normally quite reasonably priced. I mean, Asda tend to release a game for about £38. Obviously, there is the odd occasion, like the Call of Duty launches, etc., when all the supermarkets have a little price war with each other.
Uh-huh.
But if a supermarket can be cheaper than a game shop, even with the reward points, because you'd have to buy a lot of games, the reward points would be worthwhile. It's a bit of a... I think it's just another sign of the death of the high street in general, as a wider Beyond Games topic, I think.
Yeah.
You know, just how they're having trouble coping.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I go back to you, one of your earlier points you said about the brand being damaged. Mm-hmm. And I, in my head the other day, compared it to Woolworths. When Woolworths are going down, sure, you had people saying, oh, I'm not surprised, it's become nothing but a junk shop. There were a lot of people sad that Woolworths was going down the pan. You didn't really see that for Game. Nobody gave a shit. Okay. So I think if they're going to be a success, they've got to rebrand. Like, yeah. Totally.
And even, because obviously they own GameStation as well, yeah. And I don't know if... it'd be worth just merging the two completely to have one unified shop. I don't know.
That's what I said. I said they should drop the GameStation bit and change Game's logo to look like GameStation.
Yeah.
Because I think arguably the Game brand is bigger, so they're going to keep that side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. It's called Game Group after all.
Yeah.
And then when they did buy them out, when the administrators... facilitated, they did say, like, oh, this means that the Game brand will not be another one of these retail names disappearing from the high street. So, I guess, for me, I think they need to turn it into an enthusiast place, a place where people are bought in to come in, and then get people into the store for other reasons first, and then worry about selling the games to them. So, I had an idea that they should start running, like, competitions and social events and stuff. Make people really want to be in the shop and then worry about trying to sell them stuff, and people might not resent paying a slightly higher fee for games if they're having that great social experience in store.
Yeah, and I mean, when I've been in the games, a lot of the staff, I've encountered nice staff and helpful staff, but there is one thing that I do find, that there's a lot of staff that I've come across that don't really know what they're talking about, mm-hmm. with games, and I mean... with specialist stores, I feel like you do need specialist staff to know what they're talking about, because if, I mean, at the end of the day, the likes of us, we know a lot about games anyway, so we tend to know what we want when we go into the store, we know what we like, etc. But sometimes I've asked staff if they're not sure, oh, what's this game like, or what have you heard about it? And if they can't really give you a good answer, in a specialist store, it's not like a generic one like Asda, where it's just, they have a load of staff, loads of different departments.
Yeah.
They should really know what they're talking about, really. It's like going into a pharmacy and asking about medication, and they look at you blankly.
You know, as in, like, that is a very strange analogy, but it is a little bit like that.
Yeah, but you expect when you go into a pharmacy, you're going to know that the staff know what they're talking about medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd like to think the same about walking into a game shop.
Yeah.
Like walking into a butcher's. It's like walking into a butcher's and they don't know what they're talking about. We're about meat with a big cleaver in the end. Just
you ask for a bit of beef and they give you a chicken breast. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that's fair enough, mate. I think I could see that, yeah. I remember when a new manager somehow got a job at my local game station, and she used to be the manager of Next. And so I had a friend that worked there, and she basically pushed all of them out by just being an arse to them, and then employed all her friends from Next. None of them gamers, nothing. She just wanted to get them in because they were friends, and GameStation paid better than Next did at the time for shop assistants. And for about 6 months, that GameStation was abysmal, because nothing against Next employees, but the three girls that were basically the three full-time staff, they weren't gamers. They didn't know a thing.
Yeah.
So it does have a knock-on effect. You're right. Going with...
And there is staff there, though, which do know a lot about games. Because, I mean, when Call of Duty Black Ops was launched, I did go to the midnight launch for that in my local game. I'd never been to one before. And obviously the staff working at midnight, they didn't know what they were talking about. You know, they were all dressed up and all this, that and the other. And that was cool. It was just...
Yeah.
I've encountered them all otherwise, shall we say.
Yeah, I have too. The other thing to tie... I think they need to move away from... Basically, if you walk into a game shop, the outside walls, the edges, just all chart stuff, and then the whole of the middle shop is their crappy own-branded gameware stuff and pre-owned. They need to move away from that. Like I said, get competitions in, try and get that arcadey social vibe, and then stock an actual proper back catalogue of games at decent prices, games that are harder to find, that people are going to want to come in and have a rummage through. Think how good HMV used to be, I'm not sure how good some of them are now, for their back catalogue of music stuff, like the racks and racks they used to have of CDs. They still do in the bigger stores. Game need to become that, like, the savvy gamer is going to shop online for their new releases. They need to realise that. Mm-hmm. So why not have that back catalogue? Like, if I was going there and was just strumming through racks of PS3 games, I was like, oh yeah, I remember that game. I missed it first time. I might pick it up. But if you go in there now, they have their chart, and then underneath there's a tiny A to Z of about like 15 games.
Yep.
And it doesn't entice you at all. They need to make it nicer to look at. Don't give all the... Because the best racking space in their stores goes to all the pre-owned junk, where they have the nice... bespoke racks where you can shuffle through things. If you want to look at an older, new game, you've got to get down on your knees and rummage through it. Can't be asked for that. So yeah, that's my views, Mike. Let's see if anyone else has got any views. Or are you done?
I think I'm pretty much done on that. I agree, but I think there was also something to do with the pre-owned market, because everyone jumps on the pre-owned market now. Even like Asda, keep mentioning Asda, but it's only because there's only one down the road from me. They now sell pre-owned games, don't they? And they've done now for quite a while.
Yeah.
So there's obviously how the companies see it, money to be made there. But then you've got that other topic to do with the publishers, with all these online passes, which are obviously being used as a way of combating the pre-owned market.
Yeah, that's true. We've had the online pass discussion. Discussion in the past. I think we're done with this topic, Mike. We will resume in another year when Game are going down the shitter once again.
Yeah, I'd like to think it wouldn't happen, but it even they've been rescued. It does look a bit bleak.
I do think severe downscaling is still going to have to take place. They shut down a lot of stores, but I do still think there'll probably be some places where they have a look and think, we don't need two stores here or whatever.
Well, I think they closed one down at the Trafford Centre.
Yeah.
There's still another one, and there's one in Selfridges. Could argue, does there still need to be technically two there?
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, that's all questions that the new owners, Op Capital, will be hard at work thinking about over the coming few months.
Hopefully.
We, on the other hand, are going to turn to another one of our listeners' questions, which is going to lead us on to our next subject very nicely. Rowan said, good episode. Did either of you guys play Zelda Skyward Sword? Be good to hear your thoughts, if so. Because last week we talked about what we played, and amongst all the casual madness that I've been playing, I completely forgot that I had played Skyward Sword.
Terrible.
I mean, it's been a long time. I completed it within like a week and a half of it coming out, so it's been a while since I've played it, so I did forget about it, to be honest. And yes, I did play it. You haven't played it yet, Mike, no?
That's even more terrible.
Yeah. But there's reasons why, which I can see why it's perhaps not as enticing. Like, to me, Zelda's my big Nintendo franchise, the one I get launch day every time. Like, the reason I haven't really bought a 3DS yet, if there was a brand new Zelda on that, I would have bought a 3DS, to be honest, because I wouldn't be able to resist. I'd feel like I was missing out if I didn't have a new Zelda game. It's alright, Mike, you know, it's got problems though. Firstly, graphics are really nice. They went for this pastely like watercolory look, nice bright colours, good artistic direction makes up for the lack of power the Wii has. Like I played through it, didn't really notice, to be honest. I struggle to go back and play Wii games now. Like I tried to go back and play Bully recently, and the graphics are horrendous compared to PS3 games. It's really hard to go back, to be honest. But with Zelda, they were clever with their art direction. Didn't really make me think about it too much.
That's good.
It's your usual Zelda fare. It has the usual areas, as you'd expect. Some interesting items come up. They changed the sword so you can go into a first-person mode. Not for fighting or anything, but for really frustrating like treasure hunts where it's called a dowsing and it beeps as you go and look for items. Unfortunately, that's a mechanic they do overuse a fair bit. Too much of that wandering around, revisiting old areas to find new items that have inextricably appeared. The hub system, the almost hub world system, is quite interesting. People of the scene, it's Skyward Sword, so the sword comes from the sky. People of the scene, you're in the sky, you have a bird instead of a horse this time round. There's one village, basically, that is the only village in the game where most of your side quests originate from.
Right.
You can't access each area from each other. You have to go back up into the sky and then back down, which can be a bit frustrating. There isn't as much of the item swapping quests and stuff that there have been in the past. You don't get this greater sense of an overworld. I mean, some people say it feels epic swooping through the skies and stuff, but to me, it doesn't. I feel like if you go back to Ocarina of Time, it's quite sparse now, Hyrule Field, and they never really built on that. They should have kept going with that to some extent. The big thing about it, of course, Wii Motion Plus controls. They work. I like them.
Whee.
It's ironic that it's taken 5 years for Nintendo to finally show off a reason why we need Wii Motion Plus in our lives, and then they're abandoning it all for the Wii U.
Yeah.
Well, they're not, because all those peripherals will work, but you get what I mean. It works fine. There's puzzles related to it. It makes the combat trickier and more intricate, which I think is something that Zelda's needed, because I like the battle systems of Zelda games, but you can just get through by mashing, really, in a lot of cases. This kind of gets rid of this. You can't just swing left to right manically, like, enemies will block you and then hit you and kill you if you go the wrong way. So, yeah.
Harsh.
Very harsh. Very harsh indeed. They've stolen... Not stolen, because it's their own game, but... Kind of the idea of the you know how in the DS ones you have the towers where you basically are very vulnerable and can't kill the enemies.
Yeah.
There's sections like that where you have to get these essence things that I can't remember what they're called. It's to help your sword grow and help you gives you new powers and stuff and whatever. And you get dumped in like alternate versions of the same areas that you have to run around and collect these little seed things whilst the enemies are falling around. If they catch you, you instantly die and you have to start again. One really annoying thing, I mean, you've played Ocarina of Time, you had little Navi wandering around with you, giving you little tips from time to time, yeah?
Yep.
Do you think that was pretty helpful? Like she's,
once or twice, yeah.
Yeah, she's an alright character, good little, from time to time, good little narrative points, a few cheeky little comments.
Yep.
The fucking thing that helps you in Skyward Sword is so annoying. Like, seriously. And, like, you have, what's the name, Midna in Twilight Princess. So there's a staple of... You have Zelda with you when you're playing in Spirit Tracks. She's always there inside, knocking about as a little spirit. The one in this is... I can't even remember what it's called. It's so annoying. But it's in your sword and pops out. But pops out when you don't want her to. And to tell you the most random things, like... You'll have been told, right... We need to go. There's something in the desert area. You need to go. And the sky sort of... The clouds sort of open up and a light shines. So you're pretty much sure, yes, I'm being signposted to go to the desert area. And all of a sudden, she'll just pop up and go, well, there's an 87% chance that what we're looking for is down there. I'm like, no, there's a fucking 100% chance that what we're looking... Because everything else is telling me, go to the desert. So that's annoying. And she pops up, like, every time your hearts get low, she pops up and it makes an annoying ringing sound until you select to talk to her, just for her to tell you, oh, your hearts are there. You might want to consider buffing up. All right, cheers. Very annoying. A few other things have tied into the combat system. Upgrades to your items now. You can upgrade your shields and stuff, because your shields have got a strength, and once they go, your shield shatters, so you find yourself having to buy new shields. You can upgrade all your items by this little man who's a mechanic. That's all I have to say about it, Mike. I'd recommend playing it. It's longer than some Zelda games. It took me a good 40 hours to finish. And I would recommend it. So I've been waffling for a long time, Mike. We're going to quickly go from Skyward to Skyrim again. Why don't we have a little chat about Skyrim? Because it's a game we both played.
It is. There's been a theme about games with Sky at the beginning and end of last year, wasn't there?
I can only think of them two. Or Skylanders.
Yeah, I think there's another one as well. But it's escaping me.
Skies of will... Gear.
Maybe.
Okay, anyway.
I will play Skyward Sword eventually.
Yeah.
I don't know why I've not played it, though. Just to... briefly mention, because I'm a massive Zelda fan like yourself. I mean, the first Zelda game I played wasn't till Ocarina of Time on the N64, but ever since then I've loved them. But for whatever reason, whether it's just my general feelings towards the Wii have diminished slightly, I don't know. I can't really give an answer as to why I've not played it yet. I mean, whether it's just bad release timing and I was playing a lot of other stuff, and when I thought about that or Skyrim and stuff, and then they decided on Skyrim. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but Skyrim, Adam, yes, we both played it. I've completed it, and you haven't.
I haven't, because GameStation were doing it cheap before Christmas, and like we said, I didn't plan on picking it up, but I did, and then it got lost in the post. Didn't turn up until after Christmas in the end, even though I ordered it in like November, because you have to wait so long before they'll send you another one out. So I waited for that, made my claim, they posted me another one out, sent it recorded delivery this time to prove that I got it. I started playing it, and then sort of got to a point where I thought I need to stop if I'm going to play Mass Effect 3. So I stopped for Mass Effect 3, now that's all over and done with. I've picked it back up, and I'm well into it. It took me a while to get into it though. I'm doing the old, let's play all the side quests first. Mm-hmm. So I'm not very far, I only just killed my first dragon, for example. Only just discovering the delights of shouts and stuff. That's, yeah. They've changed things up a little bit from like the previous Elder Scrolls games and Fallout. Like, the levelling up system's different. You now level up based on what abilities you actually use. So if you decide you're going to use your bow and arrow, your archery will go up exponentially at a good rate. But then if you don't do any hand-to-hand combat, you'll be shit at punching a giant in the face, basically.
Yeah.
So I like it. What are your thoughts on the Skyrims?
I loved it. It was, I mean, I'd never played an Elder Scrolls before, but as I'd said in previous episodes, I had played Fallout 3, mm-hmm. New Vegas, and loved them. Slightly different. I still would probably say I preferred Fallout 3, but I don't know if that's a bit of, you know, sometimes when you have your first experience of a type of game or anything and it kind of sticks with you.
Yeah.
Fallout 3, I think, was my first proper massive RPG experience. I mean, I played other RPGs like Mass Effect and stuff, but not to that kind of level.
Was it maybe your first, like, properly open world RPG?
Yeah,
and I think Mass Effect isn't, to be fair, because, yeah, you can go around the galaxy wherever you want, but certain side quests don't unlock until certain points, and.
Yeah, that's, and it's like Pokemon. Game. Pokemon's like RPG, but then it's not massive.
No.
You kind of follow a certain path of it. But overall, yeah, I love Skyrim. Now, my playtime will sound low compared to other people, but I think it was like 70, 80 hours before I completed the game. I unlocked all the achievements as well. I'd started playing it by doing all the side quests, but then it got to a point when I was starting to waver a bit, like I felt like I was getting a little bit bored.
Yeah.
So then I kind of did all the main side quests outside of the main story. So it was like the mage quests at the College of Winterhold. Yeah. You know, like the main side story, so there was that.
Yeah, there's actual side quests, and then there's like miscellaneous quests that aren't proper side quests, yeah.
It was them, Dark Brotherhood had a quest line, Thieves Guild, The Companions. And was there another? I'm forgetting.
I don't know. I don't think I'm far enough in.
No. But I did all the missions with each of them factions anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of the miscellaneous stuff, helping people out. Or even there were some side quests outside of them.
Yeah.
Say, to do with Daedric artifacts and things like that. I did all of them. And I did all the main story. The main story, if you just stuck to the story, I could see it wouldn't take that long to complete the game.
Which is kind of the same as with Mass Effect, with Fallout.
Yeah, oh, the other main side quest was if you choose to be with the Imperials or...
The...
Stormcloaks.
Stormcloaks, that's the ones, yeah.
Yeah, that was another... And funnily enough, if you complete one of them side quests first, that actually removes one of the main story missions. Which I didn't find out until later on in the game. Or when I completed it and I read upon it.
See, I haven't sided either way. Because I've noticed as I'm going through the side quests, you can talk to people and some of them will have an opinion on like the Imperials or the Stormcloaks. So I'm building up my own opinion on them as I'm doing side quests. And then once I'm ready to, I'll go and decide who I'm going to help out.
Mm-hmm. It's there is flaws in the game. I think it's only because it's that massive. You've got usual Bethesda graphic problems, you know, stuff like that. There's a lot of epic moments in the game. Like, there is times where you can be doing mind your own business in the village and a dragon will attack. That can get annoying sometimes when you've got a specific goal in mind that you're doing. Say if you're, I don't know, trying to improve a certain skill by smithing or something and then a dragon swoops in and you're like, oh, fuck off. Go off and kill it and then go back. But there's epic moments like that. I like the music whenever a dragon appeared.
Yeah.
There is little things, though, which is a bit odd, because when you complete the main side quests, you become like the head of that faction or someone in an element of power.
Yeah.
And by being in power in all these factions, it kind of doesn't make sense, or there's no kind of cross story thing. You know, like, other characters in the game have no idea you're this big person.
Well, it's like I just got a
title. It trips up on itself.
I just got a title in Whiterun and was allowed to buy my own house and whatever. And got this woman that's now sort of like my slave. Thane or something, or Fane.
Yeah, Thane.
Yeah, but then I can go to other towns and they don't have a clue. But then I guess you live in... They ain't got a mobile phone, they ain't going to text a mate and go,
no,
hey,
it's,
do you know who the new Thane of Whiterun is?
Yeah, I think it's safe for, like, being the leader of the Dark Brotherhood. Obviously, you're quite evil because basically you murder people.
Uh-huh.
You kill people. It's a bit weird how you can kind of be like that. Or be a thief in the Thieves Guild, this master thief, but then this be like this great companion who's like an upholder of justice and... It lets you do everything, which is cool, but it's almost a bit contradictory in the sense that would someone really be that diverse in themselves?
Yeah, because New Vegas, you could sort of tread... I know it's made by Obsidian, but it still uses Bethesda's things. But it sort of let you tread the line between the different factions and then came to a head where you have to decide, like, who the hell
who
is
you're
gonna
be.
And then it locked off things. It even came up, like, once you made your decision, it would even come up, like, dun, failed mission.
Dun. Yeah.
And that's it, Mike. The timer is going. You have had 30 minutes, Mike. It's been a lovely, joyous 30 minutes. But have you got any thoughts you would like to round up in just 30 seconds?
I don't really have any thoughts for this episode, Adam. I feel like I've discussed what I wanted to discuss, so I'll hand it straight over to you.
The only thing I have is if you're not already playing it, get on Draw Something. What a delight it is, hey, Mike?
Oh, yes, definitely. Another great iPod, iPhone kind of game.
What will they think of next? Stealing Picture Me and making it fun and amazing somehow. Thank you so much, OMG Pop. And that's it. So I guess that's we're done for another week, and we will see you all next week. Thanks for listening.
Laters.
Bye.
Bye.